Welcome to Dissecting This Fiction, a podcast where we discuss the latest in movies, TV, and games. Because we're always DTF, and you should be too. I'm your host, Steven.
And I'm your co-host, Jessica.
And this is The Anatomy of Transformers, Rise of the Beasts.
It is indeed.
You sound very excited.
Thrilled, can't you tell?
Yeah. So we are not alone, actually, this episode. We are joined by Wayne from Podcast Championship Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, PCW, Podcast Championship Wrestling. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course, of course. You know, we had you, I guess, was December. We talked about the Game Awards, I think it was.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Good time. It's been, a very long time. Time has been definitely flying. And of course, we now have all the other gaming showcases that we're going to actually talk about in our other podcast. We I don't know if you heard, Wayne, we've shifted the gaming over to another podcast called Loading Games with DTF.
Oh, wow. That sounds great.
We decided we needed to like separate the two.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who is interested in all of our opinions on those showcases, definitely check those out. And I'm sure we'll have Wayne on again. So talk some video games. After Transformers, of course.
Yeah.
So, let's get into this. So, basic information for Transformers Rise of the Beasts. This was released on June 1st by Paramount Pictures. It was written by Jobby Harold, also Darnell Mateer, Josh Peters, and Eric Hober. I think I got those names right. So a lot of people involved in the writing on this one. It was directed by Stephen Caple Jr. I'm not that familiar with this director, but I guess he also worked on Creed 2. Have not seen that, so I really don't know. But I have heard great things about that film. And then this is, of course, based off Hasbro toy line of Transformers. A little bit of confusion with the box office side of this movie. Box Office Mojo is saying it's only around 78 million or something like that, but news sources are saying it's about 170.5 million worldwide for this movie so far. And yeah, we're about 2 weeks in, so
yeah, it only had 60 million domestic, but I looked at a bunch of different sources that like basically are like Box Office Mojo, and like every single one has different countries reported and different numbers, so I'm like, I think everybody just needs to get their shit together. So hopefully the news articles, hopefully the people that they're reporting this in news articles on like Deadline and Hollywood Reporter and stuff like are actually having information instead of just referencing Box Office Mojo, because there's conflicting numbers.
Yeah, but like, so let's say it's the 170.5, which is the highest one being told right now. Like that's so they're what, about 30 million shy of breaking even from the budget, right? So
it's not bad.
Not bad at all, especially for a Transformer movie. So
yeah.
Hopefully Box Office Mojo fixes that if that's incorrect. Otherwise, I don't know how people are getting the 170.5. So keep in mind, obviously, this is our spoiler conversation for this movie. So anybody who has not seen the movie, you will be spoiled on anything that happens. So make sure you leave if you have not seen this movie.
Yeah, come back after.
So the basic plot summary is the Autobots must team up with the Maximals to stop the Terracons from releasing Unicron, a planet-eating threat to the universe. So that's the most basic plot we can give you. Wayne, I wanted you on because I know you are also a big Transformers fan. Beast Wars, I know that's a thing that you are familiar with. I wanted someone else's opinion, so it wasn't just me shouting out all my thoughts, and I want to know, what did you think of this movie?
You know what? It didn't feel like a Michael Bay film, which was a big deal for me going into this. You know, I know it's been, 5 years? We're coming off of Bumblebee, so, you know, I think with the momentum of Bumblebee and this, I think Transformers is starting to get back on track. You know, maybe this is the one that's gonna get it back on track. You know, we didn't have the hot girls and the and the Linkin Park music and these cut rude. scenes. And I like Linkin Park, don't get me wrong. But it's just like Smash Mouth and Shrek. You just get sick of it after a while, you know? Like,
fair.
But, you know, you can only take so much of it. But, you know, this was definitely something else. And I really enjoyed it in the theaters.
Okay. Yeah. So, Jessica, we'll start with you because, well, you're next. I'll go last. Like, You're the second start.
Okay.
I'll go last because I really want to know what you thought of this, because you are basically the one going into this. Like, you know, I kind of got you to watch season one and I think half of two so far of the show. We were binging that basically before this release. We failed to finish all three seasons, but you're the one that kind of went into this with like more of a broad idea of what Beast Wars was, what the Maximals were.
Yeah.
And how they kind of fit into the Transformers universe. So what are your thoughts on this one as well?
Well, I mean, like right off the bat, of course, it was fun to just see giant alien robots fighting each other. Like I always enjoy that. But, and of course they have the like human plot lines or like whatever, like emotional and stuff, which is great. Cool. But the general, like as far as it matching the source material that I saw, there was a lot of issues with that. Mm-hmm. It was still like an interesting plot line, and I agree it was nice to not just be focused on like some hot chick the entire movie, which is great. There's actually
The uglier the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, there was just like story happening that was not, it wasn't like trying to make itself a rock star. It was just being what it's supposed to be, which is giant alien robots fighting each other, with the occasional human peppered in. So like I enjoyed it, but I do have some, I felt a little confused, and I was like, well, maybe I'm just not clear on how Beast Wars ends because we didn't see the whole thing. And then I don't have as much background on this. But to me, I felt like I was like missing a lot of things if it was supposed to really include that.
I feel like this, was really just more of a quick introduction to, I guess, really just the Maximals, not really even the Beast Wars itself, just the core group of the Maximals.
Yeah. I also feel like just one little gripe is the Rise of the Beasts seems like it would be an origin. And I feel like we got a basic idea of where they, like, why they're there and that they were there first or whatever. But I don't really feel like it was truly an origin or like the story of the beginning of them.
Yeah, I will agree with you. I think that the title is a little odd for this movie for what it ended up being. I think that was just them trying to market it in the way of the Beast Wars are coming.
Right. Yeah. It's the first time we're seeing them.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, for me, this movie, I have such a torn relationship with these Transformer films because on one end, I really enjoy just watching live action versions of these characters just beat the shit out of each other with cool action scenes. On the other hand, I see what like other properties are doing and how they do take those, you know, crazy fictional universes and they can make them into very character driven, impactful stories. And this is definitely not that. I feel like Transformers has definitely devolved in the sense of the plot quality over this entire franchise. And I think this movie is probably at the lower end of that spectrum when it comes to the quality for this plot. Like I said earlier, it felt like an introduction for the Maximals into the Beast Wars. There's a lot of things like just with the production side of this film that really confuse me as far as like what we are being told we're getting as far as where it lays in the franchise. And this movie does not really show that to me. And so I liked it for what it was, but I do have a lot of problems as far as like canon goes with what they've done with the franchise for the movies. I've got issues with the way that they done characters, but yeah, it's overall, I guess it's fun, but don't expect a whole lot of your childhood, I guess, from Beast Wars. Don't expect that to like really kind of be injected into the Transformers universe for this franchise. It's very minimal, really, is what they did.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And like, I don't know if that's intentional. Like, maybe they have big plans for like many movies, mm-hmm. but which I assume they do based off how long they've been doing this franchise. But it just feels like they didn't really go a direction that like made sense. But we'll get into all this. You know, we have plenty of stuff to spoil with this movie. Well, I guess let's start with the characters. There was absolutely zero hot women, so that's a plus, right?
Yeah. I wasn't distracted, you know, as much as I was in the 2007 film and many others after that.
So really, there's only like two main characters, right? So there was Anthony Ramos. He played Noah Diaz. He was from a musical. I don't remember what it was called. Jessica, do you remember what that musical was?
West Side Story?
Oh, wow. Okay. No, he was in two musicals then. Yeah.
He was in Hamilton too?
He was in Hamilton. Right. Yeah, that's right. Hamilton.
I don't think I saw that.
Okay. So that, I guess he was in two. Yeah. So, okay. So quite the pivot from what he's typically in.
Yep. Yep.
And then Dominique Fishback as Elena Wallace, which I am not familiar with her in anything else.
So these were vaguely familiar, but I don't think I've seen anything that she's in.
Yeah.
Oh, she was in Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And a few other things.
Okay.
But this would, I would think, her definitely breakout role.
Seems that way.
This is what everybody's going to remember her from. Mm-hmm. At least for me, for sure.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely a role that's going to, like, reach the masses as far as mm-hmm. viewership. So yeah, they were really the only two main characters. There was the little brother for Noah, but I felt like that was this kind of like, I don't know why it was even in the movie. It felt very forced.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
It was just there to pull your heartstrings, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like they were trying to like build like Noah's character by like how much he like takes care of others and stuff. Mm-hmm. But whatever. You know, it's
get back to the robot.
Yeah, get back to the robots. Autobots, we had Peter Cullen once again voicing Optimus Prime. We had a newcomer, Mirage-ish. He's been in other movies, so that's like another thing that's kind of weird about this whole movie is like he's been in other ones, mm-hmm. but he's a completely different character, it seems like, in this one. But we had Mirage, who basically took over for Bumblebee as like the lead Autobot, played by Pete Davidson, which I don't know about you guys. I was very concerned when I heard he was going to be the voice of Mirage. But I do feel like it kind of worked out. I think he did a pretty good job. I think he brought like humor to the character. I think it ended up being a lot better than I expected.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't paying attention, so I didn't realize that he was going to be the voice. And it took me a good while to kind of figure out who he was, because he was doing something different than his like normal voice for obvious reasons.
Just kind of like sound effects and all that stuff.
I wasn't disappointed with it. And it's probably good that I didn't know that he was going to be him up front, because I might have been like, my opinion might have been skewed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mine was essentially.
Yeah, like, and you still were okay. It. That's good.
But I feel like it worked out well, and I think that a lot of that kind of plays into like the character and the way he kind of like played with like Noah. Those two characters, I think, kind of worked well. Their relationship worked a lot better than I was thinking it would. You know, like, usually when we have humans, they feel like they're forced into the story, and this I kind of felt like it worked between them with like their relationship and how they met and all that stuff. So yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with that one. You were telling me about this. So this she's a YouTuber, Liza Kashi.
Yeah, is that right? Liza or Lisa, I don't know. But yeah, I looked her up and she's like she's famous for streaming and YouTube stuff.
And so she played the voice of RC, which to me I feel like was probably the most G1 design of all the characters in this movie. So it was good to see RC got a little bit more screen time than we've seen her get in the past.
Yeah. And just so I'm clear, she has like she morphs into the motorcycle with the rider too, like she's like a fake rider. Okay, I was confused by that at the beginning, and I was like, wait a minute, there's no person.
I mean, it's like the first Transformers where they have like the Decepticons all have the same guy being the like hologram pilot or driver of those vehicles.
Yeah, I feel like you get away with a car driving around with nobody in it more than a motorcycle.
That would be concerning.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I'm sure we're not far away from somebody inventing a self-driving motorcycle.
Yeah, I like can drive to come pick you up or whatever.
Yeah, it's like an Uber thing for people that like don't like to like be around other people.
And also love danger, apparently.
Yeah, right. And then Bumblebee. We had Bumblebee in this movie. I don't have his voice actor, mainly because he probably like doesn't really have one.
Yeah, I feel like he was just like various movie/song clips.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever
didn't really have a real voice in this. It didn't seem like.
Yeah. And then second to last, I guess we have a couple more. Wheeljack, voiced by Christo Fernandez, who is from Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Transformers Are Life.
Yep.
There you go. That character, I feel like they did a lot. Weird stuff with, because he was also a character that we've seen in multiple movies. He was in Bumblebee as his G1 form. He was in, I believe, The Last Knight as, I think they called him Q in that one, but it was supposed to be Wheeljack. And just like completely different character designs. And so like it's just like another example of like, what are they doing with these characters? Are they supposed to be like the same ones? Are they actually changing them? It's just very weird to me as far as like how they are keeping the canon flow of all of these movies. And he was, am I correct? Was he supposed to look like Urkel?
That's the kind of vibes I was getting.
Okay, because like it did feel like they were trying to go with a lot of 90s nostalgia type stuff, because this movie takes place in 1994. Mm-hmm. Was it seven years after Bumblebee, 13 years before the first Transformers. So they're bouncing all around with the timeline right now. And then last for the Autobots, we had Stratosphere, voiced by John DiMaggio. He, to me, just felt like he was just a reskin of Jetfire from Revenge of the Fallen. It just felt like a very unoriginal character to me. Even like his whole purpose, his design, everything about him just felt like they were just like, just reuse Jetfire's character. So that was really kind of disappointing to see.
Yeah, it was like, I feel like there's always one that's like this dilapidated, falling apart one. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, like I'm not sure why.
Right down to that, like that was, you know, Jetfire was like old and like he was like falling apart, rusty, whatever, and like he could barely transform, and like it felt like that's what they were doing with this one too, and it just,
yeah,
he just had a much less significant role in this film. So
according to most of the people in our theater.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really want to get through like the whole like plot of this movie, but I kind of figured we could just like kind of jump in and out of like spots of the movie that we could talk about. I assume you're referring to Bumblebee in his will he, won't he die plot point of this movie, which was the dumbest fucking thing I think we've ever seen in a Transformers movie. Or how did you feel about it, Wayne? I guess you got my opinion.
I mean, come on, like it feels like in every Transformers movie, we lose a good guy in some way, shape or form. It seems to always be Optimus. Mm-hmm. I could see why they did Bumblebee to pull at our heartstrings here, maybe because of the Bumblebee movie. You know, it's almost like Marvel with these fake deaths. You know, we did get a couple fake deaths in this movie, and then, mm-hmm. you know, we got one that actually stuck. And the one that stuck actually surprised me more. You know, and the difference with Bumblebee in this movie, you know, obviously he isn't the main Transformer. He's not like the Wolverine in the X-Men. He's not the main driven character in the story. It's like now it's Mirage. Mirage, it's they kind of changed it up. Mirage is the, you know, he's the one with the comedy callbacks, and he's the, you know, with the main human this entire movie. And it seems like Bumblebee just didn't have the charm in this movie that he carried in the Bumblebee movie. And I know it's a little confusing. A lot of people do think that maybe this is a prequel to the 2007, but I'm kind of believing that Bumblebee and this movie are completely separate from the Michael Bay films. Because it does get, like, confusing and a little hairy, because there's, like, I don't know, there's a lot of questions, because, you know, we see the Autobots are already on Earth here, right? Mm-hmm. But if you remember the 2007 Michael Bay Transformers, Bumblebee's already on Earth, but the other Transformers, like, you know, Optimus and Ironhide and stuff, and they're not already on Earth. They're coming down through meteors, they're crashing on Earth. They're not on Earth yet. I feel like these are the soft reboots, you know?
Well, and they've called this a soft reboot. Mm-hmm. Well, Bumblebee was what they called a soft reboot.
Right.
But the thing that's really confusing, though, for me is, like, what you pointed out was 100% something that I noticed was, like, you know, this whole plot is Optimus is trying to get that key so that he can go back to Cybertron with the Autobots. And what we see in the first Transformers movie is the Autobots come to Earth mm-hmm. after Bumblebee to join him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a little confusing in that aspect.
Right.
But what, so let me see if I could pull it up. So I have it, I think, in my notes here.
For the casual fan, definitely confusing.
Yeah. So Bumblebee was announced as in development. Or this movie was announced as a sequel to Bumblebee in 2020. And then later in November, they hired the director, Steve Capel Jr., to do this movie. And then they had another script for a Beast Wars movie, which I guess they then merged with this movie. That's at least the premise that Wikipedia is giving based off news reports on the franchise. So what's confusing about that is it's weird to call this a Bumblebee sequel when Bumblebee is kind of in the backseat.
Fair.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, they also feel like they're touching on plot points that happened in the last night in this one. Like, we got and this is the biggest problem for me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but Unicron was revealed to be Earth in the last night at the end of that movie. And then in this one, he is not Earth. He's just going to attack Earth. Mm-hmm. And so that's, like, a huge confusing thing. And based off the way that they set the whole thing up, it feels like there's got to be some kind of story in between this one and those movies that corrects that, because it seems like they're following the plot points of all of these movies together. And I know they said that it was a soft reboot, but, like, Bumblebee is the Camaro in this movie, just like the Michael Bay movies. We have in the Bumblebee movie, Megatron was missing from Cybertron because presumably he's on Earth, like in the Transformer movies. Like, it just, they have all these things that basically say it's still the same franchise and universe, but they aren't, like, directly showing how they connect.
It is make this whole thing confusing for people, don't they?
Yeah. And then, like, what the guy said with, like, the other characters, like Wheeljack, Mirage, it's just like,
right.
They have these movies with those characters already, and then now they're kind of introducing, like, their new characters, but they're not, and it's just very, I don't know. I had another point that I can't think of right now, but when it comes back to me, I'll let you guys know. I feel like it had to do with Optimus Prime and his role.
Well, you know, one of the gripes I had about this film is it seems like it's just like every other Transformers movie, where it's, we have this small device we got to get before the bad guys get it, and we need it to save Cybertron and Earth. It's always, you know, whether it's a cube, whether it's a key, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like the plot point.
Miscellaneous shape.
Yeah. That a human can carry.
Yeah.
it just seems like it's in every Transformers you know, film. And, you know, great. I love the fact that we got Unicron, you know. It reminded me a little bit of Galactus in the Fantastic Four movie. It's just that he wasn't a cloud, you know. But I was kind of hoping for something a little different. Maybe going forward, we can get something a little different. I mean, there's a lot of, if you know anything of the Beast Wars, there's still a lot of Maximals left to introduce.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we didn't see, we saw Terracons in this. And for me, that was new. I know a little bit about the G1 Transformers, not a lot. I have been watching G1 Transformers lately to kind of catch up. I actually did a recent rewatch of all the Beast Wars, which you can find on Tubi TV. It's like three seasons, and then there's technically two seasons of Beast Machines where they're back on Cybertron. So we're missing characters like Rat Trap. We're missing characters like Tigertron, and you know, Dinobot. There's a lot of other Maximals we haven't seen yet, which they can totally build off of and add into the future. But most importantly, we didn't see Predacons. And we see with these Terracons, they collect, Scourge likes to collect badges, like kind of similar to what reminded me of Killmonger, how he took, he kind of decorated his body with the death of the fallen that he, you know, the lives that he's taken. And this guy likes to take the badges. And if you look, he didn't just have Autobots and Maximals. He also had Decepticons and Predacons on there. So they were out killing everybody. So it'd be really cool if in the future we have Predacons come to Earth. And you know, I hope like a plot point would be like it's not for a device. It's not for a key or a cube or something stupid. But what we did see in this movie, what did bring back Bumblebee is Earth is very rich with Energon, and that was one thing that drove the Predacons on Earth to harvest was Energon. So maybe harvesting Earth's Energon could be a big plot point going in the future.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of the few things in this movie that did feel like it was stripped from the Beast Wars show was, you know, the large amount of raw Energon. Like, I think they even said in this movie, when Bumblebee was well, just, you know, a corpse, and Optimus right. says, is there any way that we could revive him with Energon? And Optimus Primal said, not in the state that it's in, it's too raw. And so, like, that was, like, directly from the show. So I did like seeing that. And I think you might be onto something with using the Energon as a plot device later on. With a sequel or something. But as far as the Predacons go, like that really did kind of confuse me with this movie. Like, why did we not see any Predacons? And it did feel like this was a very rehashed storyline. And I think I said it felt like they took Revenge of the Fallen and then they mashed it with Dark of the Moon. Like, you had the plot point of Revenge of the Fallen and then you had the end battle with the giant, you know, it was Cybertron and Dark of the Moon, but in this one it's Unicron, you know, just swapped out what was going to show up and merge on Earth or whatever. And so, like, you know, that's kind of what I was saying early on, was like, it just, these movies, they just don't feel like they really put much thought into the plot, and it just feels like they are just trying to rehash the same storyline with different characters. And, you know, you brought up Scourge having his whole like trophy thing, and like that felt like he was such a boring character to me. I liked that idea, but like I feel like we even got that kind of concept from, I want to say it was Age of Extinction with Lockdown.
Yeah,
if like he was kind of like that same kind of role. He was just a neutral Transformer who would kill anybody for the right price, and it was just kind of like he didn't really have his own character in this movie. He felt like he was just a rehash of that character even. So I really would have liked to see them give some kind of like background with that character, why he's tied to Unicron, what his motivation is. You know, they reference the Dark Energon. That's a very interesting plot point within Transformers universe. And that was a throwaway line in this film. They didn't really explain it other than, oh, he's got dark energon, so he's stronger. What is dark energon? Mm-hmm. Why does it make him stronger? How does it relate to the Transformers on Cybertron? Like, just, I don't know. It just felt like they could have done so much more with this story, and they chose to just rehash the same concept. And that's very disappointing. Let's kind of talk about the Maximals a little bit. So, you know, Optimus Primal is the leader. He is a, I think they even said, which is another thing I guess they kind of took from the show.
Mm-hmm.
He referenced how they are essentially from the future, trapped in the past.
Right.
And that kind of, that's stripped out of the show. But again, that was just a throwaway line. And it just felt like, why didn't we get flashbacks beyond like the first scene of this movie or something that kind of signifies what their role is in this universe and why the Terracons are truly after them? I don't know. It just felt like they didn't really put much thought into the Maximals for a movie called Rise of the Beasts.
Yeah.
Voiced by Ron Perlman, by the way. I thought he did a very good job.
Yeah.
There was four, you know, you referenced like half of these characters were missing from the show. So we did get Optimus Primal. We got Air Razor, voiced by Michelle Yeoh. We got Cheetor, voiced by Tongaya Carissa. I definitely butchered that. And Rhinox, played by David Sobolov, who also voiced Battletrap, which is one of the other Terracons. Really, though, okay, so we got four characters, but really we only truly got two, in my opinion, because Cheetor and Rhinox, I think, maybe had two lines combined in this entire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel they were very wasted on this. You know, Cheetor to me was like the equivalent of Bumblebee in the Beast Wars. He was the youngest one. It seemed like he was like the kid. He was the mm-hmm. the greenhorn. You know, he was very green in this, and he really didn't have many lines at all. And Rhinox to me was like the smart scientist, the brood, the muscle. You know, and we didn't get a lot of from him either. So, you know, but I mean, I guess we kind of got that with Ironhide and who was the
Ratchet?
Was it Ratchet? Yeah. Ratchet. Yeah. Like those would be the equivalent of those two characters, mm-hmm. I believe, you know.
And I've always kind of in my head, and I'm sure this was just what they intended, but to me Rhinox was always the counterpart to Ratchet.
Mhm.
Yeah. Maybe Ironhide hybrid of some sort.
Yeah.
And I was just really shocked to not really see them used much, like not even so much as far as action or plot, just like they didn't really even have voice roles. It just like, so why do we even have voice actors for just like one or two lines?
I want to collect that paycheck.
Yeah. Right. Like that's gotta be a nice day's work.
Yeah.
I guess lunch break.
How do you guys feel the fact that we kind of got gypped on seeing Air Razor transform?
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to ask if anybody saw that. I did not see that. So that did not happen as far as I am aware. So I wasn't crazy.
Uh-huh.
So no. She did not transform, which I thought was very odd.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're going to kill her off. Like, at least show her transform early on in the movie.
Right.
Later on, we got all the others, and I assume that they wasted time not showing that because they wanted to make it more of a oh shit moment when they did.
Right, saving it for the third act, yeah.
Yeah, like, but for her, if you're gonna kill her off, like, then, you know, when she goes to, like, protect the Autobots earlier on in the movie, then let her transform and be a badass in that moment.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, definitely a...
Yeah, so I was, that was something I noted, and definitely was a disappointment for me. I assume the answer why is because it was less money to design it and then make it happen in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But like even Cheetor and Rhinox, they did transform, but I don't know if I truly feel like I saw what they looked like in their robot forms. Like they didn't really show them enough, or it was too fast of an action scene that you didn't really get a good grip of what they looked like.
Right. I mean, it's just, it's hectic in that that third part of the film, the end of the film, mm-hmm. where they had that big battle scene. It's just, it's so overwhelming with so many different robots. I mean, Michael Bay films, they do multiple screenshots. You know, you're going from camera to camera to camera. And in this one, it was one flowing camera, which was nice. But yeah, like, it was too fast. And I feel like if you really want to see the depth of these characters, you're going to have to either look at toys or you're going to have to maybe Google some still photos of them. But mm-hmm. like, that was one thing like I really wanted to see, like, because I did get excited. I knew they were going to eventually transform. You know, it was the moment we were all waiting for. And, you know, when I was like, they better say, you know, maximize.
Yeah.
I'm going to be pissed. If they don't say the line, I'm going to be pissed. And they did it, you know, they delivered, and they looked somewhat similar to, you know, at least Optimus did, somewhat similar to his character, but like, yeah, I couldn't make out the other two for the life of me. I can't remember what Rhinox looked like mm-hmm. in this. You know, it seemed like their weapons were a little different. It looked like Cheetor was using a staff, which was new to me.
Yeah.
So Cheetor, there was one moment where it did feel like his design was more based off his transmetal form.
Mm-hmm.
Because it did look like his hands were maybe his head, whatever, on each hand.
Yeah.
But again, I didn't see it really that well, so I don't know if that's really what they did. But mm-hmm. But I think he had a staff with that character design too, so that would make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited about Optimus Primal whenever he transformed, his legs rotated or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Was like, oh cool, that like looks like the cartoon.
Yeah, that was something I really did enjoy. Was the transformation even? They really did. It felt like nail how he would transform. Based off his design. They just kind of like
forgot about everyone else.
And I did really enjoy the way they all looked. I thought, you know, that was one question I had was, how are you really going to translate these characters into a live action film? Because you can't make them actually look like animals and then mm-hmm. transform. And so I was actually very surprised by what they did. And I thought it worked out really well. So I can't say I have a complaint about any of the designs for those characters. I just wish we got the Airazor transformation and a little bit more screen time and action from the other couple characters. I think it was a huge missed opportunity that when Scourge took the key and he activated the device to bring Unicron in, and it was like a doomed moment for everybody, that he didn't look at the camera and say, well, that's just Prime.
Yeah, they missed out on that. Holy
like, come on now. There's certain lines characters have to say, and that was one of them. That was his Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, you know? that's similar to Optimus saying, you know, Autobots roll out. You know,
yes.
That's his catchphrase. We missed out on that.
Well, they kind of hybrided the rollout thing with the maximized stuff, but yeah, they didn't do the that's just Prime, and that's insane.
Yeah, because he says it constantly in the cartoon.
like over a month. I mean, at some point, Rat Trap was like, you know, you need to calm down with the Prime talk.
Uh-huh.
This is an Amazon. Come on.
How do you guys feel about, you know, this was taking place in the 90s. A lot of the 90s nostalgia of... you saw like the kid wearing his Power Rangers shirt playing on the original Game Boy. We saw Noah in the beginning working on a cable box trying to get free cable.
Yeah.
So a lot of that nostalgia, the old school walkie talkies that, which by the way, they only worked for like I don't know, half a block. So how he got it to work as far as he did. I was like, how did you get it to work so far away and so clear? yeah. I enjoyed the music choice. We had like Nas, we had Black Sheep, LL Cool J, Notorious B.I.G. We had the Wu-Tang Clan. You know, so we had a lot of good music too from that time period. Not just let's do all Linkin Park, all of it. So we're just gonna sign them to it, just like they did with Shrek and Smash Mouth. You know, just one group.
I think they were pretty heavy with the nostalgia of the 90s in the first act, but once they got to the point of like him getting the key and like moving on to the actual well, air quotes, the actual plot. I think they could, you could tell they definitely toned down with that stuff.
Yeah, very true.
Let's talk about the Terracons. So basically, you know, it felt like they were the replacement for the Predacons, which we have noted have been very absent. Interesting that they chose Scourge as the character to use, played by Peter Dinklage. And then he had basically two other Terracons under his command. Nightbird, voiced by Michaela J. Rodriguez, and Battletrap by David Sobolov. Kind of the same situation, I guess, for me with Cheetor and Rhinox were the same with the Nightbird and Battletrap. I felt like these two characters were very underused. Just they had a couple scenes where they fought, the museum, and then later on with the temple. It felt like those were like their two shining moments, but like they really didn't really give us much on these characters. They didn't do a whole lot. I don't know. It just felt like they were, as much as we're told that these characters are like a huge threat, I don't feel like we truly saw it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. They gave me the vibes of, was it like, what the fuck are they called? The Thanos's little flunkies.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, they show up and they're like, oh, not you again, and then they hit somebody and then that's about all you see.
Right. I mean, Scourge did give Optimus a good ass whooping the first part of the film, but it made up for it, you know, at the end. But that very beginning, you know, he was kind of underestimated the whole group, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't come across the Terracons before.
Which they're from the future too, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so the way I understood it was they followed the Maximals to the past for this key. At least that's how I'm getting it. Because it didn't feel like Optimus knew who he was, but then he seemed to know who they were.
Mm-hmm. Do you? In the beginning of the film, we had Scourge and the other Terracons on the planet with the original, the Maximals, and there were two apes. There was Optimal Optimus, and I don't recall who the other ape was.
So I learned his name doing notes. His name is Ape Link.
That really confused the crap out of me, because whenever Optimus Primal was there, and I was like, wait, didn't he die?
So here's what I think they were trying to do. My idea is they were trying to make that be like they were some kind of a brotherly relationship or something. And so it was supposed to, like, in my mind, it was supposed to build his character as like he's lost so much by like having to like see that character die. I don't know. I wish they kind of just used a different character that we could have just seen die that we like know of. Maybe like a lesser known used character.
I mean,
I don't know.
Like they always use Cliffjumper, who always dies in any kind of cartoon. So why can't we get a Cliffjumper type of character? Like, you know, I don't get it.
Yeah, and as far as I'm aware, he's a made up character, because I don't know of any one named Ape Link. So
there for his plot development in the past.
The only other thing I could think of is, like, they wanted us to think that it was Optimus Primal. So when he got killed, we'd be like, oh, fuck, they just killed off Optimus Primal right off the bat. And then gotcha with knowing that he is not the same character. I don't know. It was an odd choice, I felt like. Because from what I understood, that was supposed to be their home planet, or at least where they created their home planet. And then, so why would there be... I don't know. I guess in my head, it would be like they would all be the same. They would all be apes. They would all be the same animal. They would all be apes.
Right.
If that was the case. But like they had variety. So like, why is there two apes? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But it's one of those head scratchers for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess simple answer. It just seemed like that was just to give us a character for Scourge to kill so we could see how badass he is. And then to help sympathize with Optimus Primal with how much he's lost. I think they did a much better job with that when he had to kill Air Razor later on, but even that felt like that was like too soon.
The way they kill off Ares, I thought was kind of dumb. Like, oh, this is what happens when he touches you. I'm like, okay, so.
Yeah, but he touched like so many other people. Like.
Well, okay, because he shot that. It was that thing that he shot on her during the when she destroyed the bridge in Peru.
Yeah, it was like a little device, right?
Right. So obviously it corrupted her in some way to give him. I don't know if it was he like had basically did he control her or it just kind of made her evil. I don't know the exact details, but what I got from it was dark energon based, and that's why it was corrupting her.
Yeah, it was confusing. And I feel like a shitty way to write off that character. Like, it was kind of unnecessary, I think. You know, you could have had just Scourge just straight up kill her. Like he did to, quote unquote, Bumblebee. I think that would have hit a little bit harder than her getting, you know, the robot form of COVID. You know, just it was kind of ridiculous.
And again, I think, you know, it was supposed to be, like, the show that Primal had to, like, sacrifice so much that he had to kill his own second-in-command to stop Unicron. And, like, and it's a shame we won't see that character again. Unless they do some kind of, like, time travel for a future movie. Like, that's the thing is, like, we didn't really get a true Beast Wars film. And so, like, it would be nice to see Maximals, Predacons doing their thing on Earth. Mm-hmm. Long before humans existed, and that would be an interesting film, I feel like. But this is even a prequel to the franchise that we've got. So, like, to then have another sequel that would then be further in the past, it just feels like that would get way too confusing. So I don't think they would do that as far as a sequel. I think it's all going to be going forward in the timeline at this point.
Yeah, which is a bummer because that kind of makes it so that we know for sure we're not going to be able to see some of the Predacons that would have been cool to see.
Well, that's not necessarily true. Like, we could see Predacons still. It's just, I don't know. I just, the whole design of using Scourge as basically Galvatron in this was very odd. Like, I don't know. Like, what I would have liked to see, and I think this would solve all the problems with the Predacons and all that stuff, you could have had the Predacons, have it be the Megatron of the Predacons, and then instead of it being, you know, the G1 storyline of Unicron enslaves Megatron into Galvatron, you could have had it be this version of Megatron from Predacons. And then when he enslaves him, it turns him into the Transmetal version or something. I don't know. And that could have been something that you do like later on, but or at least flashbacks or something like that. But that way you get the Predacons, you get Optimus Primal's rival of Megatron, but you still kind of can convey that storyline of Unicron enslaved Megatron that people know of, you know.
Yeah.
Scourge was a part of that storyline, but he was like underneath Megatron or I guess Galvatron at the time. So I don't know. It just seems and he wasn't a Terracon. He was just a Decepticon.
Yeah.
Like I feel like they're just using the word Terracon and trying to make it seem like it's like a different thing. But in reality, the comics and all that stuff, all that they were just a faction of Decepticon who transformed into a Combiner character.
Yeah.
So they're definitely getting loose with the idea of what a Terracon is in this.
Yeah, we're just like making up something new.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. Do you have anything you want to add, Wayne?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. I kind of want to go talk back about Optimus a little bit more. Like Prime, how did you guys feel about his like whole character not trusting humans, not liking humans, being very like standoffish? It definitely felt to me like a different tone to the character. Obviously we're used to an Optimus who's very like every life matters and we gotta protect Earth at all costs and stuff, but this one was very like I don't give a fuck about you. It's about me getting back to Cybertron. I'm not going to lie. I kind of liked this version of Optimus more.
Yeah, it was actually easier to believe him being this alien robot leader that, like, I don't know, the whole benevolence of Optimus usually is a little bit almost unreasonable. And so it was an interesting change of pace.
Yeah, and I think the whole idea was supposed to be like showing us how he goes from this to what he is in the 2007 movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My big thing was like it felt like it was too forced, his shift in view, because it was like he was very anti people, and then all it took was him meeting Optimus Primo, who was like, oh no, people are cool, and then he's like okay with them after that. It just like that's all it took.
Yeah,
that was the character development.
He saw that he had to sacrifice his own second in command in favor of so that people wouldn't die as well. I don't know. Maybe that changed him.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the only thing that you could really say, right? Is the seeing Air Razor die and having to see Optimus Primal kill Air Razor would be like a little like reality check, I guess, for him. There's worse shit out there that you could have to deal with than just getting stranded on a planet, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I loved the idea of it being about him second guessing his decision on leaving Cybertron and getting stranded, and like how that affects all of his soldiers, whatever, the other Autobots, family, whatever you want to call it. Like, I kind of liked the idea of it was like something that he had all this guilt about his decision on whether it was the right move in the end. But I would have liked to see some kind of, I don't know if it would be flashbacks or some, I guess it would have to be flashbacks, or like maybe like they did with Bumblebee, where it was like the first scene would be tied to what they did with that whole Cybertron battle. And like, maybe it was like a further into that storyline before he also leaves Cybertron and like dealing with the aftermath of what happened.
Yeah.
Like giving us like more insight as to why he's so butthurt.
Right.
I guess.
It's like, I guess from what the other Autobot said is he just lost so much. Losing, he felt like he lost Cybertron, and you know, it's his fault they can't go back home. It's his, you know, he feels like everything is his fault, you know, even when Bumblebee gets killed, like, you know, he feels like that's his fault. It should have been me, you know. I guess it's easier to take the word of another Transformer, you know, another leader, you know, like we've been working with these humans for many years. They've kept this other part of the key safe, you know, they can be trusted, and like, yeah, I totally get it. He doesn't trust anybody on this planet at first. Like, you know, humans are assholes. He looked like he was pretty quick to like want to kill Noah, even, like, you know, like, you know, who is this human? Why the fuck did you bring him here? You know, like,
yeah,
real quick to like, we should squish him, you know. And who knows how long, you know, he's been. I mean, I guess since Bumblebee, but like in reality, like how long has he been on Earth? Like, who knows what else he's seen with humans mm-hmm. interacting? I mean, just like, you know, what Ultron in the Avengers, like the second that guy got access to the internet to see how terrible human beings are, you know, how terrible we really are. He's just like, oh, you guys, I don't trust anybody. You know, humans are terrible people, but not all humans. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, it just felt like it was like too quick of a shift, I guess, for the character. But I get what they were trying to do there. I think the bigger like thing that was odd was like how he just now found out there's like this whole other faction of descendants of the Autobots, the Maximals. And he was like, he had no fucking questions. Not concerned with the idea of time travel and how they are.
Yeah.
And, oh, like, why animals?
None
why
of that
cars?
Was important.
Yeah.
yeah, that's true. There's not a lot of questions, not like, why are you guys animals and why are we cars? Like, is it better to be an animal? And why are you like a 50-foot cheetah? Like, you know, a lot of this does not make sense.
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
Also, but just now thinking about that, after you said that, why were they on a planet that had exactly the same animals?
I know.
As Earth.
That's what I was wondering in the beginning of the movie, but I was just like, I don't know.
They didn't even say the name of the planet, right? They just...
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. And you got anything you wanted to add, Jessica?
No, I think we pretty much covered it on that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We covered the timeline. Okay. So let's get into the final battle, I guess. So they have to activate this device that's in a volcano. The key, Scourge has the key after corrupting Airazor. He takes it from her while she's fighting Optimus Primal, and he activates the thing to get Unicron back. This is basically their big clusterfuck of action. All these, I don't know what the were they Predacons? Like they were like scorpion looking, but like not scorpions.
I was looking at the like wikis and stuff, and somebody called them Freezers.
Yeah, Freezers. I mean, they were just basically minions of Unicron. Yeah.
So for me, like, I don't know. I guess I was curious if like that was trying to translate to like the insect Predacons.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of familiar with those characters and stuff, but I don't know. What bothers me with the Transformers movies is that they have like, you know, they have these characters have like their own unique personalities and shit and like names and designs, and then they have those kind of characters and they're all just very generic. Are they mindless? Are they considered also Transformers? It's just like it gets complicated with like the canon. You know, even going to the other movies with like Revenge of the Fallen had like all of those generic Decepticons show up, right? And it's just like, I know they're just there so that they could beat the shit out of something and not have to kill off a bunch of like characters they want to use. But it felt like it was a little too much in this one for me, especially when we didn't get like much with like Scourge and stuff like that. So here is where we did get Bumblebee getting resurrected by the Energon. That was there was like an Energon burst that happened from the activation of the device, brought Bumblebee back. He had his comeback moment. How do you guys feel about that?
I mean, why can't he stay dead?
Yeah,
well, that's because that's kind of like that's further proof for me is that this is all still the same.
But like, okay,
universe that they started in 2007 is like he's not dead because of that reason.
Right, you could bring Bumblebee back, so that it made me believe, because of all the raw Energon on Earth, okay, you were able to bring him back, why not Airazor? Why can we not see in a future film that, oh, we were able to use Energon, and Rhinox was able to bring her back, you know?
That's a good point.
And who knows, maybe we will see that. Maybe we will see her come back, and that will be the answer, is we didn't see it on screen, but, like, the Energon wave did bring her back.
Yeah, and with Mirage, like, they weren't really specific on how he was brought back. I mean, you can't just have a regular mechanic just put this guy back together. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
he's alive. Like, just didn't make sense to me, that part too.
So let's get into that moment. So after Bumblebee shows up, he does his thing. He fucks up, I think, Battletrap. And then we move on back to Mirage and Noah, who have basically are together trying to stop Scourge from using the device. So Mirage shields Noah and gets fucked up badly by Scourge. He's not dead, but he's lost a lot of his parts. And as you brought up, he gives his parts to Noah and transforms into a mech suit for him. It's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, that part is so confusing. Suit.
Yeah, like an Iron Man almost.
Yeah, but and like, so why? It's just kind of like, now I get what they were going for, because in the G1 show, there is like later when they're actually in space and not on Earth anymore, there is, I think Sam, whatever, the kid that's with them in the space, he has his like robot suit that looks very similar to what they did. And so I think they were kind of going off of that like, concept for this suit, but yeah, it when he's stronger than the Transformers themselves, that's where this gets a little confusing to me. When it happened, when they transformed and it turned into a suit that he was wearing, I was like, here we go, are you kidding me? I was definitely rolling my eyes at this moment, but in context of G1, like, it does make sense that they would have this. It is technically within canon of Transformers. But yeah, like you said, Wayne, it felt very Iron Man, right? It was like he was basically just Iron Man wearing Mirage, I guess, as a suit. But like, so is Mirage dead, or is it just his parts, or is
Yeah, because he had the suit at the end of the movie. Just, like, hanging out with the suit, right?
Yeah,
just
so,
had
like,
it just suit... in his room or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, okay, so Mirage was technically dead at that point.
Mm-hmm. No, then, well, but, like, how? So, if he has the suit, but then he has the car, I just don't... So, is the suit gone? We're assuming the suit is gone now that the car is back.
Well, no, because if you remember, at the end, when they do the, like, where he's fixing up the car, mm-hmm. he bought parts or he got parts elsewhere to rebuild.
Okay.
But that's what we're, I think that's what Wayne's saying is like, yeah. So he's just got like normal car parts now. He's not like a transformer.
Yeah. That doesn't
so
make
like, how
sense.
The fuck is he alive and
yeah,
as a car? Like,
it, yeah, he like so went like, to AutoZone and got their last parts for him. You know?
Yeah. So like, yeah. Is there like
the Cybertronian starter kit? I guess is what he bought.
Is it like his spark? But like, what controls the mech suit if it wasn't Mirage's essence or whatever the fuck it is?
Yeah. Like, so, like what powered it?
Yeah, because it would have to have been from Mirage, because he didn't, like, fully die or whatever. He just transformed himself into a fucking mech suit. But then, like, if you're going to then put him back into a car form, like, how do you... What?
Yeah, and they're just being really loose and not really... They're not giving the details of, like, how the shit's supposed to work. And you know how I am, Jessica. I'm very, like... I can accept that Transformers exist. I cannot accept that, you know... that yeah. kind of thing is happening. Yeah, like it doesn't
exactly
make sense.
Like I'm accepting the universe, but I need you to tell me scientifically in this universe
there
how
needs
this
to
is
be
happening
rules within that universe as to why it can work.
Yeah, they're not running around shirtless. There has to be rules.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, as much as the Michael Bay films get criticized for how ridiculous they are, that's one thing I think I did appreciate about the first one was, even though it was like this crazy scenario, it did feel like he built it in a way that was, it felt like it was believable and grounded within its realm of how they transformed and stuff. And then they got like weird and they're like, oh, it can go from hella small to hella big just by constantly transforming. And just like, okay, you lost me there. But
yeah,
as far as I'm aware, he died. And then when the car was rebuilt, he then was alive again. But does that also imply that they brought his body back with them? Like, what was left of his body, I guess, from what wasn't used on the suit? Because, yeah, like, there has to be something of his.
More parts, yeah.
I know. It's so confusing.
The only other way I can accept it is if, like, behind the curtains, they had, like, some kind of energon infusion that they gave it. Yeah. That brought him back to life.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Earth is surrounded by tons of energon. I mean, it brought a dead Bumblebee back, I guess. So anything's possible.
Yeah. So, yeah, the whole, like, mech suit thing was just kind of like an eye roll for me. But I kind of was expecting it, too, because if you guys remember the trailer, there is a moment in the trailer where Mirage throws Noah, like, a... something, and then it goes on his hand, and like that's where they cut it off on the trailer, and I'm like, yep, that's definitely gonna be him transforming a suit onto his body. Mm-hmm. And then later on I think they show him hanging on Bumblebee or something,
right?
That exact scene,
like,
so
a handgun / flashlight / and yeah. He even makes a joke like, you don't even want to know where it came from on my body.
That was so random and weird.
But it got you thinking. It did get you thinking, didn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, what's the worst spot a Transformer could have?
Yeah.
All right. I guess really all that's left of this, unless there's any other characters specifically you guys want to talk about, any moments. All I really have left, I guess, is the end credit and then some plot holes that we've kind of already discussed. But
let's talk about that end credit.
All right. So... what we got was Noah going in for another job interview at a security company. Turns out it is a secret organization that was keeping an eye on him and the Transformers during that event. And they offered him a job to come work with them. And he flips over a business card and sees the name G.I. Joe on the back. How did you feel about this, Wayne?
You know what? I mean, I've heard of some rumors about them merging these two brands together, these two IPs, and I feel like G.I. Joe needs Transformers. I don't think it's the other way around at this point.
I would agree.
It's
the reason why it's happening. That is definitely the reason.
Yeah, and it's way better, way, way better than the rumors that we heard about people want, or not people, but a certain cast members wanting, let's put Transformers and Fast and Furious together. And then me just screaming, no, please don't. Yeah, I don't need to hear about, you know, Transformers and Autobots, you know, talking about family. You know, I don't need that shit. You know, I feel like this is another good window for The Rock to try to get back into this franchise as well, because shit's not working out for him. Hey, remember I was in G.I. Joe? How about I come back to that?
That's my question, I guess, for you guys, is this a complete reboot of G.I. Joe, or are they rebooting a second time, or is this going to be a continuation of what they already have done? Because the first movie was not well received.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was like a soft reboot where they just kind of killed off those characters in the very beginning, and then they had like their new ones. And that movie was like a lot better, but like it still wasn't great. And then they had the spinoff for, was it Snake Eyes? It was the solo movie.
Yeah.
And I know they were trying to do like a whole like universe where they had all their characters have their own movies, but like that didn't go well. So is this going to be a continuation of what we have, or are they completely rebooting G.I. Joe within Transformers?
I feel like with the soft reboot of Transformers, that's going to go hand in hand. They're just going to do a soft reboot, because why go back to that failing IP? You know, I don't even remember much of G.I. Joe, those two movies. And I never even saw Snake Eyes because I was like, no, I'm not interested. So I totally see them rebooting it all together. Because it had like a, when he was talking to him, I was thinking Sector 7, right? Is that what they had in the...
That was my first thought, was it was, oh, this is just Sector 7.
Right.
And then I was like going a little bit further. I was like, wait a minute, is this going to be like a... Noah is actually like the guy from all the other Transformers movies when he's younger, like type shit. But like that wouldn't have made sense with the canon that they had. But that's what I was trying to like fit it all together. And then they flipped over the thing and it was G.I. Joe. And I was like, oh, fuck. Of course it is. Like,
yeah.
Now that makes sense.
Yep. And I was totally getting a S.H.I.E.L.D. feeling. You're like, oh, this is like S.H.I.E.L.D., where it's like, we're going to recruit you for something bigger, and we know more than you know. You know, we know everything. We were listening in on your $10 walkie-talkie the whole time, you know? Like, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it because I think if they do it right, it could be great. It could be great. I mean, we don't have many IPs out there combined together, crossovers like this, that are going to work, and this is definitely one I could see working, you know?
How long till we get My Little Pony, though?
You know, if they're gonna...
Riding on My Little Ponies and...
No, if they're gonna do any other crossover, let's do Barbie and the Lego Movie, you know? Let's do those as a crossover movie, I guess. You know, they're both toys, right? Mm-hmm. They could have Will Ferrell be in both of those movies. So, I don't know.
True.
Like, the whole time, it's the daughter playing with the Barbie toys, you know? So, I don't know. I'm stretching out here. So.
Yeah, so, with me, G.I. Joe, I was not as big of a G.I. Joe fan as Transformers. So, I really honestly don't know a lot about that franchise. Mm-hmm. Obviously, depending what they're doing, I know that, like, you know, comic wise, Transformers and G.I. Joes have had crossovers before. So I know it's not anything new. But I guess it does have me a little concerned that they're at least with Transformers, that they were like, well, we don't know what else to do. So like, we'll just start. We'll just do this instead of like figuring out a better plot or something. I don't know. You know, so it feels fresh, but it's not fresh type thing. But who knows? Like, maybe this could be like the thing that like really revamps Transformers. But like, just my natural reaction is no, keep Transformers separate. Let it be what it is. I don't want to like dilute it with other shit that like I'm not familiar with, I guess. But maybe it'll do well. Like I just so like I don't the all I can think of is like are they gonna like are the Transformers gonna be like fighting against the G.I. Joes or are they gonna be like a team that work with them? Are we gonna see like Optimus Prime partnered up with a G.I. Joe character? Like is each Transformer gonna have like its like counterpart G.I. Joe? Like I have no idea. Does G.I. Joe then are they no longer just doing like Earth-based terrorism battles? Are they gonna like now go into space and shit? Like there's just a lot of questions now that I have because of it. What about you, Jessica? What are your thoughts about this whole thing?
I think, I don't know, it could be really good or it could be really bad. I feel like if they're going to ignore the previous G.I. Joe stuff and start over, then that would be better, obviously. Mm. I think it has potential because you could incorporate, I know like the Transformers movies always want to incorporate the human story as well. And for me, I always feel like it's just extra and it's just getting in my way of watching the robots fight. But if they're bringing in G.I. Joe, you get the like human part of the story and it makes sense that it's involved. It's not just some random guy who happens to find some fucking thing that they need, you know? And so I think it could be good. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I guess it then would give the viewer a reason to care about the human side.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like there's a team and there's a purpose and there's a reason that they're interacting. They're not just like a random random guy off the street, because that whole thing where it's like a random guy off the street is like really it's over, I think. They've done it too many times, in my opinion.
I guess it's also a question of like, are they going to be a separate movie still and then they'll like tie in at some point, or is it like
we're just gonna
see G.I. Joe in Transformers movies or vice versa? Because I would hate to see
I feel like it seems like if they're going to do it right, they're going to try to do what Marvel did and basically have like their own separate things, but then kind of interact in occasionally.
I mean, that would be the logical route, right? Because it's been proven to work so far.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess my issue and concern is that if they bring in G.I. Joe and they are in the same movies instead of separate things, that will the Transformers then be used as more of props for battle rather than characters themselves? That's my only concern.
That's a fair point.
But yeah, we got, I don't know what their plans are. You know, we know that there's a animated movie based off Cybertron, which was announced after Bumblebee had been released because everybody really liked the intro part of that movie on Cybertron. So that's something I'm looking forward to. I believe that they said there's going to be, I think the idea is that this is going to spawn into a trilogy for this movie. So I guess the question is G.I. Joe going to be a part of that trilogy or something that comes after? And then I think there's also another film that's supposed to be a spinoff. Yeah, I know it's pretty up in the air, I guess, what they're doing as far as Transformers for the future at this point.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like you just use Unicron. So where do you go from here? Like, I don't think there's anything bigger than Unicron.
Right. Well, they didn't use, in Bumblebee and this film, they didn't use Megatron. They didn't mention Megatron. So maybe they're, instead of like, you know, how we did in the Fantastic Four movies, how we always use Dr. Doom, like maybe they're just building up to Megatron. Maybe they're going to make him a bigger threat, like, you know, maybe we'll get the Predacon Megatron, and then maybe we'll get the original Megatron, and then the combination of Decepticons and Predacons working together. That could be a very, you know, big threat on Earth. Maybe them going after Energon, and then you can have, you know, Predacons, Decepticons, and Cobra working together. You know, it's going to be these evil teams getting together at some point, but you're going to have to, I'm glad they didn't throw Megatron in this at all. It did feel weird in these past two films not to have Megatron at all. And, you know, you did need a big baddie, and Unicron was a big baddie. So, you know, that's the only direction I can think of from here. You know, we're going to get, the Terracons are done. hopefully, you know. So let's get Predacons. We haven't seen any Predacons at all. Let's get some of the original Decepticons teaming up with the Predacons. You know, let's like really taking out some core characters possibly and killing them and making them stay dead. So we know that they're an actual threat.
That's kind of naturally all they could do, right, is go into the Predacons.
Yeah.
I mean, so it also, again, it all falls onto the question of, is this within the timeline of the other movies? Because they did set up stuff in the last of that movie, the last night, for Unicron being Earth. And so maybe they have some big genius plan for time travel within this franchise that's going to explain that, and they're going to use the Predacons to get there, something. But like, you know, like you're bringing up like where's Megatron in these last two movies? Presumably, I mean, I all I have to assume is that he's frozen at the Hoover Dam. Like, it just, that's all I could assume, because they have kind of not referenced him, and everything's been designed around the theme of Bumblebee being that same character transitioning to the Camaro. So I guess we'll see, but I think it would be really cool if they played with time travel with this whole idea, and that could be like a way that they could maybe even explore the G.I. Joe movies that didn't work. I don't know. I guess that's probably like looking too far into it, but I imagine they're probably just going to do a clean slate with G.I. Joe. But cause I guess they kind of did establish that they were just building the team or whatever, the organization now, right? Or at least it was early on. That's how I perceived it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if you guys are ready, let's just get into our final report. Do you have anything you want to add, Jessica?
No, I think we're pretty okay. Good.
All right. So final report time. This is where we give our final thoughts on the movie. So we start with the anus, which is what we thought was pretty shitty, or something that we just plain hated of the film. So Wayne, what would be your anus?
I guess it would have to be the finding out that, hey, once again, we have a small device that the humans need to take to save, like another small device.
Mm-hmm.
I rolled my eyes as soon as I found out. I was like, oh great, here we go.
Yeah, they need to stop making devices that are like the size of that a human could carry. Like, they need to be bigger, that they just get to pick them up.
Optimus couldn't carry it and put it in a compartment that he had, like in his glove box or something. Like, a human had to carry it. Like, it had to be small enough specifically for a human. Like, I just rolled my eyes. And the fact that, like, the second piece was removed from from what seemed to be a very well hidden city. Mm-hmm. In a very well hidden, you know, temple, and instead they're like, no, we brought it above ground, we gave it to this human race, right? That they kept in a blanket. Like, what the fuck? So that was my anus.
Like, just go bury it somewhere and then walk away.
Yeah,
and then that should be the end of it. Nobody would ever know where it is.
Let's have it in a straw hut wrapped in a blanket. Sure, why not?
Yeah. What about you, Jessica?
The anus for me was the lack of Predacons, and specifically no Dinobot. Like, what the fuck?
I think that the reason they steered away from Dinobot specifically would be because they had the Dinobots in Age of Extinction, and I assume they didn't want to confuse the casual audience on who Dinobot is compared to the Dinobots.
Right, right. Well, I'm still mad about it.
Yeah, that's fine. I agree with
because
you.
Because I feel just the in general, the Predacons themselves, but like, I don't understand. I guess I came into it expecting to see them. And so that was where I was kind of annoyed.
Yeah. And mine's kind of, I guess, similar to you. Like, so my anus would be just the lack of just like a plot truly centered around the Maximals. Like, I feel like even though this was a device that they had and it was something that the Terracons were chasing them after, it felt like the plot was still focused around Optimus Prime wanting this for Cybertron. And when you have, again, a movie called Rise of the Beasts they should probably be the main focus or lead characters of the film.
You would think.
And I just felt like they were just kind of there to usher Optimus Prime to get from his bad mood to where he was in later movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, like the Maximals, the Predacons, like there's a lot that they could have done with those characters together, and they just, they didn't do it. Like, you could have done Unicron, but like you could have saved him for like the third movie of this trilogy, right? Like you could have, I don't know. I felt like focus on the Maximals first with this one, and then transition it to be like a bigger, like, oh shit, the end of everything with Unicron. Because, like, yeah, you know, we're talking about Marvel, right? And how they, like, do their own things and they tie it all together, right? So you could have just kept doing your Transformers with Optimus Prime and the Autobots and all that crap on their movies. And then you could have started a Beast Wars. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, with time travel, you could have had them somehow interlink and all have to work together against Unicron. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the lack of use of the Maximals, even, you know, Predacons aside, just the lack of use of Maximals was just so shitty for a movie that was supposed to be centered around them. They just felt like they were like the Dinobots of Age of Extinction. They just had a little bit more of a role as far as like dialogue, because you know, the Dinobots didn't really talk. That was it for me.
Okay.
All right. The appendix is next, which is our unnecessary or a missed opportunity situation within the film. What do you got, Wayne?
They totally missed out on having Ares or transform. Like, that was a scene I think we all missed out on. I think we can agree on that. Like, that, I was, she was so badass, even in her beast form. She was like, shot like fire / lava out of her face. Like, it would have been so cool to see what else she could have done in her robot form. So, you know, that I feel like is a total spot that they missed out on.
Yeah, I would have loved to see how they made her transform and just visually what they made her look like, because, you know, the animated version of her is very, like, I feel like that character specifically looks a lot different than what, like, most of the other characters look like. And so I would have liked to see how they did that, especially with, like, her having, like, a big arc in that show. And then presumably we're just never going to see that kind of thing play out for her.
Yeah.
What about you, Jessica? What was your appendix?
My appendix was the Bumblebee death. It was, I don't see the point of having a fake death, resurrecting them before the end of the movie. Like, I'm kind of over that. So
it was a missed opportunity, not leaving him dead.
To actually kill him, yeah. To have some, like, real impact from one of these movies. Like, I don't know. It just, meh.
I mean, let's say that they are 100% saying that this is not the same timeline as the first Transformers film. And none of that stuff is relevant to this. That would have been a good way of making your statement, you know?
Yeah.
Kill off Bumblebee.
Right.
There Although you go, folks.
I will Bumblebee say, though,
not around. We are starting fresh with this stuff.
Yeah, it can't be the same. Yeah, but I will say that if they are pandering to their audience, they sure as fuck hit the mark, because our entire theater, like, shit their pants when Bumblebee came back. Yeah,
we obviously got the one theater. We got the one theater that was full of morons.
Yeah. Well, that, to be fair, we had people coming into the movie like 30, 45 minutes late still somehow. So I don't understand how that was a thing.
Yeah.
But, like, everybody was so jazzed about that. Like, you didn't know that was going to happen. Like, this is not surprising. Anyway,
I mean, I think as soon as they killed him, I leaned over to you. I was like, I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they specifically thought, we need a large amount of energy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, that's going to happen then.
Yeah, definitely was like a unnecessary, for sure, unnecessary moment. Yeah. Like, we all literally know what happens to him. So
yeah,
you don't need to pretend like he's going to die. And I would have probably liked this movie a lot more if they did kill him off, because it would have like set a precedent that like we are at a different timeline. But
yeah,
they're so wishy-washy about whether this is or isn't a part of those movies that it's just like it's so confusing at this point.
Yeah.
For me, I guess the missed opportunity would be Scourge not having like a bigger like background, I guess. I just, you know, if you're going to use him as the character to tell Unicron's story, then like give us a reason why he's doing it. Is he just enslaved? Because you didn't really even convey that well. You mm-hmm. just kind of said, oh, he has no spark and he's full of dark energy on. Like, yeah, you didn't really say like whether or not he's like, is he mindless? I mean, he obviously has a mind, he obviously has a personality, but like,
yeah,
why is he working for Unicron? Mm-hmm. What got him to this point? Like, I don't know. I would have liked to see these answers.
Yeah.
So for me, that was the appendix. Not getting those kind of
explanations.
Yeah. Like moments in the film.
Yeah.
Because I would have like been able to like understand that character better rather than mm-hmm. him just being like another version of Lockdown. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like even his like mask thing was like, is this like a Phantom of the Opera? Like what? The fuck is this about? Like,
yeah.
And like even his like mask thing, I don't know. It to me, it felt like it was very similar to the Decepticon logo. It was slightly mm-hmm. different because it didn't have like the middle section, but like it did feel that unique. So to me, it was like a reminder of like Revenge of the Fallen, where like the Fallen was supposed to be what the Decepticon logo was like designed around. Like they were,
mm-hmm.
but like I don't know. It just I needed to know why he was doing all this and like what I guess he was getting out of it.
Yeah.
Does he just like to kill and that's that? Like it, say that if that's the case.
Yeah.
All right. The muscle. These are what we thought were strong and or weak points of the film. So what do you have for us, Wayne?
It would probably be the main battle scene at the end of the third act. You know, it was great seeing all of them team together, you know, finally transformed, the Maximals finally transformed. But also, you know, the weak point, I guess, of that would be it was also chaotic, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was just so much going on. Like we said earlier, you could barely make out some of the Transformers because there was just so much going on. Mm-hmm. But you know, at the same time, it's like, it was fun. You know, it was badass. So, you know, you got to see Bumblebee come back and basically on his way down out of that plane, just wreck havoc, you know. You got to see all the Transformers do their thing and take out one of those freezers or whatever the hell they're called. So, yeah, it has its ups and downs for that.
Do you feel like the Bumblebee, like, reintroduction and then, like, what he did... Was it Battletrap that he killed? Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, do you feel like that like lived up to the hype of him coming back, or like did it look? I don't know. To me, I was felt like it was kind of lackluster, to be honest.
Right.
Like it. Yeah. Like it was cool, but like I was like I felt like we've seen him do cooler shit in other films.
Yeah, but I guess you don't want to steal so much thunder from Mirage, because Mirage is definitely the bigger star in this film.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, you don't want to steal too much thunder from him, or you don't want to steal too much thunder from Optimus Primal and Optimus Prime. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to limit Bumblebee. I mean, you did have your own movie, buddy, you know, so chill your jets there.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, again, it's so weird to me that this is supposedly a sequel to that movie, but
mm-hmm.
he's really not a focus of this movie. But I do like that they're shifting it. Like Mirage, so I'm assuming Mirage will be the one we follow for the next few movies, assuming that they continue. But,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's kind of needed. At this point, like, you need something new. Like, it just, we've had Bumblebee for almost 20 years now, right? So
yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Jessica? What would be your weak and strong points?
The muscle. For me, one of the strong points was the character development for Noah. Basically, start out at the beginning where he's got all these problems. He can't find a job because everybody thinks that he's got problems working in a team because he's always been trying to like deal with shit at home and all that. So it basically just throws him into a situation where he has to work as a team and becomes appreciative of working as a team. And so they really kind of, it's a very predictable path that they took him through, but it was good to see rather than just some, I don't know, it felt wholesome, I guess, to have like an actual plot line for the human other than just run from the aliens. So that was good.
I think that like actually having him kind of have some kind of a relationship grow with Mirage also kind of helped in this film versus the other ones where it was Bumblebee and Sam, and Bumblebee had to talk through radio stations and shit like that. Like, yeah. I think actually having that ability to see them actually have a conversation without the need of some kind of third party communication. I think made it easier to kind of appreciate their relationship.
Yeah, that makes sense. The weak points for me were basically like little technology and science things that I need explained, like the walkie-talkie is working from fucking Peru. And like, how did they turn Mirage's, how did he bring Mirage back? Like, I need to know more information on that. But like, those are just little things that really weren't that big of a deal. They're just like things that bother me, and it's probably a me issue. And it's probably something you're not supposed to question because you're watching a movie about alien robots. but yeah.
Yeah. How about you? I mean, it's, yeah. And I fight that whole, concept every day.
Yeah.
When I review this stuff.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like my strong points for this film, I think were, I guess, the designs of the Maximals. I thought they did a really good job of like conveying what they would look like in this kind of a world live action. I think the relationship, you know, we kind of have talked about with Noah and Mirage, I think worked really well. That was a strong point for this film. Mm-hmm. Weak points, I would say, are just the boring formula they basically used again in this film to get us just, you know, Wayne has said, like, oh, it's always a human that conveniently can hold this device that the bad faction needs, and it's just like yet again we got that. And it's just like, I think they've proven that they can do some really cool shit with Transformers, you know, graphically, CGI, the way that they make them transform and all this stuff. They've got really cool characters, obviously ones that people love, but I don't think that they've been able to really nail giving us a compelling story that you could truly do. And I get that like people are like, well, do you really need that for Transformers? But like, look at Planet of the Apes. Like, did you really fucking think that was going to be such a dramatic fucking remake trilogy? Like, that was so damn good. And the budget was not cheap on that film. So like, you telling me you couldn't like lower how many Transformers you have and give us like a more compelling story with them having better like relationship development and all that crap? Like, you could totally do that. I think Transformer would really do well with the Marvel formula. Bumblebee, I think, proved it personally. Focus on a couple characters and have them have their story, and then give us the fucking Transformers Avengers. Give us the big tie-in after, you know? But I feel like they need a complete reboot to do that, and they're not gonna fucking do that. So yeah, weak point is just like the lack of originality, I guess, with their storytelling. All right. Next up is The Heart. What we loved the most about this film, or just something we really enjoyed, something that you felt like had the heart. What do you got, Wayne?
For me, it would be the relationship with Noah and Mirage. I really enjoyed their relationship. I enjoyed the comedy riff between the two. It seemed like they got along very well, you know. We didn't get to see that a lot. I mean, okay, we did and we didn't with Bumblebee, because Bumblebee couldn't talk. We didn't get to see a lot of that. Bumblebee had to communicate with the radio, and it was very minimal. And we had to go based off like actions with, you know, with doors opening and shutting and radios going on and off and certain things the car would do. But in this one, you know, you got a full conversation going on between the Transformer and the human. So the bond between those two characters, I really enjoyed.
Yeah, and they certainly bonded together.
Yeah. Absolutely. To the point where he like rebuilt literally him from their last parts from AutoZone, you know?
Yeah, so. Exactly. I totally agree with you. Like Bumblebee and Sam, I feel like theirs was really more the humor and stuff with those two characters was really heavy on how Bumblebee responded through the radio and all that stuff. And like you said, like closing and opening doors and stuff. Like it was like really more that kind of comedy. Whereas this one was just, you could really get it through their conversations. And I think that it works a lot better with actually having two characters be able to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jessica, what do you have?
For me, it's always fun to see giant transforming alien robots fighting each other. So I feel like the best part for me is always like the battle scenes and the fights and transforming and all that stuff. Like it's the graphics. That's what I'm here for.
Okay.
I know it's not very deep, but
no, I mean, honestly, I'm trying to think I don't even know what my heart is yet, to be honest. I mean, really the best thing I could go with is just the relationship with Noah and Mirage. But like, I've said that so many times, I feel like already that like, I'll go with just that they gave the Autobots a very G1 feel to an extent, like with the exception of Wheeljack. But like, I think they've done a lot better at listening to the fans. And I think, you know, Optimus, even though he was kind of downgraded from what we saw in Bumblebee, he did still look a lot better to me than the early reports were of his character. You know, he was still very G1. Bumblebee, even with his Camaro, still looked very, I guess, from the Bumblebee movie design. RC was fantastic looking. I guess the heart for me was I just love that they were still able to try to keep that G1 nostalgia within the character designs to an extent. But you still also saw the Michael Bay form, you know, with Wheeljack, stuff like that. All right. And last on our list is the brain. What we thought was really clever or just smart things or even dumb things that we thought they did with the film.
You know what? It was probably has to do with the whole, when we discussed it to length, with him, the human wearing the suit, Noah wearing the suit. Like, how does it work? It makes no sense. How's Mirage still alive when you have his parts of his body? Like, I don't get it. Silly.
Yeah, he basically became like
Iron Man.
The Tony Stark Iron Man AI.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
you know how to use it and everything. I would have been like, I don't know the controls. I've been flying all over the place.
He easily would have like jetpacked himself into a building, you know, like.
And that's why it kind of made me feel like, was Noah fully in control, or was like Mirage kind of the pilot, and then Noah just kind of, I don't know, made split decisions.
Yeah, so that was definitely the dumb decision for me. I didn't quite understand.
And I think that's just them not knowing where to go with needing to do something new.
Yeah, I'm sure
this is something we haven't done yet, so let's do this.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody out there who knows the answer. Somebody's probably screaming right now, like, oh, well, you see, Wade, he took part of his spark and split it.
Well, they should let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Please write in.
What about you, Jessica?
As much as it's stupid, I agree. I also feel like it was kind of smart for them to give Noah a mech suit, because I think part of the problem with the Transformers movies in the past is like there's a random human and there's whatever going on, and like there's kind of like a lot of why are you here, and so for this I feel like giving him a mech suit really makes us give more of a shit about him, because he is actually useful in a battle and it's believable that he could actually be helping rather than just like being a meat bag, you know, like he's useful in the fight when he's got this mech suit. So I think that was potentially helpful for making us give more of a shit about him, even though they did give him a good character arc already. I think just in general, as instead of having the typical thing where you've got a human running through this battle somehow not dying, which makes zero sense, you've got a guy with a mech suit who can actually kind of help. So I think that was smart of them.
Yeah, I think it does make it more realistic, you know, once you get around the idea of like, oh, okay, so he's got a mech suit now. But, you know, like those are, like you said, things that like always bothered me were like Sam would get shot at and then he would just get launched across the desert and then somehow survive, or, you know, like all it would take is a Decepticon to just stomp on them or smash them, like, or just crush them in their palm.
Yes. And
they would be dead. But like somehow they always manage to survive getting away from those kind of moments. And so it, I will say, as ridiculous as it is having that mech suit plot, I do appreciate that they did, I guess, in a way, think of how they can make it so a human could theoretically be in this situation and not just survive against all odds. I think with that too, though, so like I'll kind of go with you guys on this. So the dumb thing for me would be, to add to this whole conversation, when Optimus Prime is trying to hang on from being sucked into that like vortex that appears when he destroys the key, the fact that Noah was able to hold him and himself to the ground made absolutely no sense. It was the dumbest thing to me. So you're telling me he's somehow stronger than Optimus Prime to hold him to the ground from this like vortex sucking everything in? It just, that just, that kind of stuff didn't make any sense. But like also at the same time, like, you know, it was clever that they gave him a suit to be able to like arguably compete against these Terracons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I guess more importantly for my brain, though, I would say I think the smart things that they did were give us a new lead in Mirage and kind of give the spotlight to characters like RC and stuff like that that we haven't really seen a whole lot. I guess she was in the Revenge of the Fallen, but she looked way different. And again, whether those are canon now, who fucking knows? But
yeah,
that's just like, we'll have to wait and see what they're doing now. But until they're saying otherwise, I have to assume they are. Yeah, I guess that's it for me. You guys have anything else you would like to discuss?
No, not really.
Okay. So that is it for our Anatomy of the Transformers Rise of the Beast.
Yeah, I think we had a pretty good, it was nice to have a guest on, especially somebody who knows things about Transformers. I'm glad you could help participate in this instead of me just being like, yeah, it was cool.
I try.
Or it wasn't
in some cases. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to start having more people on our podcast, and Wayne was one of the first people I thought of. Like I said, we did the gaming thing a while back. I knew he was a big Transformers fan. So I just said, you know what? I'll hit him up, see if he can get on here.
Yeah, so, absolutely. It's just
gladly have you on again if you are ever available for future stuff.
Definitely.
I'm sure we'll see another Transformer. I mean, I imagine we will, right? They pretty much said we're not done by including G.I. Joe now. So.
Oh, yeah. There's so much more in the future.
Unless we completely all just misread it and they're just saying like, oh, yeah, we're going to move on to G.I. Joe and Transformers is dead to us.
right.
Yeah. So that is it for our Anatomy episode. Look forward to I guess we'll have a regular episode coming up soon.
Yeah.
Talked about earlier in the podcast. Check out our gaming episodes on Loading Games with DTF.
Yeah, we're going to have a big one on that soon.
Yeah, with all the showcases.
Yeah.
We'll have PlayStation, Xbox, and Suburb Games, I guess, all together on one episode. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a lot to cover.
Indeed.
And then, of course, all the crap after that. All right. Thank you for joining us. That is it for our episode. Bye-bye.
Roll out, Autobots. Ha ha ha.